20 minutes after the hour, David, it worked. We've conjured up Doug Greenwald, after all. And it took Perry Como to do it. But Doug, welcome, good morning, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. And have you changed the name of the station yet?
No. Now, should we? Do we need to change?
Well, isn't it the frozen road now?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, the permafrost, yeah. That would make sense here. We're 25 below this morning and windy. How are things out there in the D.C. area generally?
Well, yesterday we got a gift from Minnesota.
Oh, did you?
When I drove home the other night, it was 3 degrees, so I know it's worse in Minnesota, but that's pretty significant around
well,
here.
Well, yeah. Mm. Yeah, wow. It would be. And I think you're only that warm because of all the Washington hot air. It's probably keeping you above zero, I imagine.
It's true. It's sort of a permanent global warming, case for an immediate D.C. area here.
Yeah, I think so. Doug Greenwald is the Senior Teaching Fellow and Executive Director of Preserving Bible Times. Just an absolutely wonderful ministry and resource for you and for your churches and your small groups and your Bible studies. And Doug joins us just pretty near every Wednesday morning here. We've had missed you a couple times with the holidays. It's good to have you back. The old year behind us, the new year ahead. And I imagine that one of the things you're involved in doing now is planning this new year and some of the new efforts for Preserving Bible Times. What's on the horizon for you this year?
Yeah, well, the planning better be done for a lot of it because there's significant lead times for some of these things. Mm-hmm. But I guess I ought to start by saying we plan to be on Broken Road Radio most Wednesday mornings.
Wow, that's great news because we're going on year three here now. So
I think we're well into year three. But I've been spending the last month or so working on the Gospel of John, Chapter 4, and next month will be our first reflection in a new, I think it's going to be a year-long series in Jesus and the Samaritan Woman, and I'm excited about that. Wrote about discipleship most of last year, which is thematic material. Nothing wrong with that. But my heart and soul really lies with passage development. And so we're going to need 3-4 months maybe to set the stage to get ready for John 4. But for a number of reasons, I think that's going to be a significant Bible study. As I keep looking around in the body of Jesus Christ and watch disciples and believers interact with one another, I continue to be amazed how we get this interrelationship between grace and truth kind of messed up. And I think we've got some lessons to relearn as we watch Jesus interact with what the culture would have seen as incredibly despised sub-human being, this four times married, now living with a man who's not her husband, Samaritan woman, and how gently and with such dignity Jesus elevates her so that he can establish a relationship with her.
There's a lot to unpack in that event, isn't there?
Oh, my goodness, is there ever. And I think most of us are familiar with John 4 and the Samaritan woman. I'm going to use the analogy here as a rosebud. Mm-hmm. But we haven't taken the time to wait to allow that rosebud to open. And so, I was writing the other day and I came up with this analogy. I don't know how well it works, but it speaks to me. We have to be very, very careful in our Bible study that we just don't migrate from rosebud to rosebud and don't stop long enough to experience the full bouquet.
Mm. Yeah, well put. And that's certainly true of that passage and so many others, and that's why we treasure your time here, because he opened them up for us. Now, just for my own curiosity, your study on John 4, is that a thing you take on the road with you for your Bible Alive presentations, or is that simply for your reflections every month?
This will be for my reflections every month. It's too huge of a topic to be able to fit into a Bible Alive weekend. It almost would need its own weekend. Mm-hmm. To unpack that thing, but some tidbits may get into Bible Live weekends because there's always new examples and vignettes that I bring to those weekends, but this is going to be its own, let's put it this way, when it gets done, it's going to be its own book.
Well, so people can hear about it here on Broken Road. I'm sure we'll talk about aspects of this as we get into the new year. But for those who can't listen every time or aren't familiar with this, maybe some of your listeners out there have friends who would like to have access to this information, you can get Doug's monthly reflection. It's free. It comes via email over the internet every month, and it's wonderful reading. And it is that typically a PDF that you can open and read on your computer, and you can keep in touch that way. So, which leads me to the next question. How's the new website coming?
Well, just to, before we move that along, just to slow that down here, the first reflection next month is going to be on John's introduction, probably his first 10 or 14 verses. Mm. And I've pretty much wrapped up John 2 and the wedding feast at Cana, because when we read John, John assumes that we have read and totally understand what we now call his chapters 1, 2, and 3 before we even get to his chapter 4. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just can't jump into chapter 4. The past is always prologue to the present passage.
But that's your recommended reading path, study path anyway. You never, if you're going to a particular verse, go ahead and open the Bible there and then back up a chapter or two and start there.
Or 3 or 4 or 5. Or four, yeah. See, when you write a scroll, unlike a book, you can't hopscotch around the scroll. You have to start with the first word in the upper corner of the scroll and read it all the way through to the end. A book you can hopscotch around very quickly and very easily, but that's impossible with a scroll. And so I think we lose sight of the fact that the way the scriptures were meant to be read and understood is from the very first word and the very first verse straight on through, because the past always is prologue to the present passage, all the way through to the end. And part of the rosebud phenomenon is that we skip around in scriptures and we don't dwell enough time. Another visual just went through my mind here, like a hummingbird who spends 3 seconds, you know, at one flower before it zips over to yet another flower, and it spends most of its day, you know, going to 1,000 flowers. We need to be, maybe we could call this the florist spot, you know, in Broken Road Radio, where we're going to take the time to let the rosebud open.
I like that idea a lot. And so going to preservingbibletimes.org is one way you can sign up, subscribe to Doug's Monthly Reflections. And again, there's no cost to it. And you'll find the website just a marvelous resource, but you've got some new things brewing there too, don't you?
Well, we are. And, you know, it keeps slipping out in front of me here when we're actually going to be live. I'm thinking maybe now within 30 days, but we're going to go to a totally new website. The current website is 12 years old, and boy, does it show it. It is absolutely ancient in that website world. And I want to get to a new platform because it'll allow us to do many more things. Recently, I was just working on something, just one section of the website called the Israel photo gallery, and actually it's already going to be the Italian photo gallery as well, and it'll be sort of like going to an art museum, going from one salon to another. And so I was looking at the first three salons the other day, not a very imaginative name, but they're called Doug's Favorites number 1, number 2, and number 3, and they're just gorgeous shots, beautiful artistic shots of the land in Israel. Different times of day, different sites, obviously. For me, each one of them is an award-winning picture. They're just gorgeous all by themselves.
Now, can these pictures be either purchased or downloaded for, say, use in a Bible study?
No, for copyright reasons, we really can't do that, unfortunately.
But they could work with a laptop in their studies, for example, and go on site and peruse the galleries there, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely, because the visualization of the site and the land is often very, very important for passages. And I'm going to have another gallery in there called the Masada Gallery. A fifth gallery is going to be the Wilderness of Judea Gallery. And so you get the idea here is that we'll fill this out with all these salon rooms here where you can go to different places in Israel and just take it in visually. And I'm really excited about that because I'm a visual guy. Half the world is visual. And that's going to be a whole new addition to the site. Another addition is all of my books. There's going to be 7. Are now going to be available in electronic form as well as hard copy form. Mm-hmm. And that may not mean much to United States people, but for people around the world, internationally, that's just huge. Because shipping books, when you have to do it first class mail and airmail in most places of the world, is just prohibitive. And so this will allow us now to get our contextual restoration books in people's hands in the international community immediately at a lower price than what the book would cost, and for no absolutely shipping mailing costs whatsoever. So I'm excited about the ability of the information to become more expansive that way. And speaking of that, the new books that are going to be coming out in a not-too-distant future in electronic form, one is going to be That Good Samaritan, Jesus's encounter, as he tells that story, that parable of the Good Samaritan. And when I leave the airwaves here this morning, I'm going to be doing some more editing on probably the most ambitious book I've ever written so far, Those Prodigal Sons. It was a reflection series at one time, and I'm reforming
that.
That's
another very complex story, isn't it?
That is a long story. That's 14 chapters long. Yeah, it's just a gorgeous story. Some call it, I use their phrase, I didn't coin it here, the greatest short story ever told.
And, it's not really so short. It's just that what we, with our Western eyes, read it, we miss all the cultural things that are being said in that.
Well, I say short stories because if you add up all the words, you don't even get to 500, you know, and the way Jesus told the story. But those 500 words are just rich and saturated with specific context of the time. The parables of Jesus, just parenthetically here, are totally culturally locked into the first century. It's not true of necessarily the miracles and some of the other things, but boy, the parables are totally locked in the culture at ways in the times of the first century. And so you have to open that up in the Judean hillside culture and village culture to really take those, what we would see as a tiny rosebud, and just open that story up into a fabulous, fabulous flower.
And I'm hoping maybe we can, because we haven't really touched on the prodigal son too often in our history together. Maybe we can tackle that one this year as well.
Well, maybe we can highlight that book when it comes out in a month or two.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Now, there's something else. I mean, you do Bible Alive weekends all across the country at various churches who bring in for a 2 and sometimes 3 day seminars. You've got your intensive series going on. That's happening right where you are, though, isn't it?
It is. Well, you know, our typical format for over a decade has been to get on an airplane or get in the car and drive to a church and do a weekend, and you've experienced one of those weekends. And typically what happens at the end of a weekend like that, multimedia, culture, we teach people some of the tools and frameworks to contextually restore a passage as it was meant to be understood, is there's a subgroup of people who say, where has this been? Where can I get more of it? How come this has been hidden for so long? You get those kind of comments. But for the people who say, where can I get more of it, we've put together a week-long Bible Alive intensive, if you will. If our Bible Alive weekends is the appetizer, then a Bible Alive intensive for a week is more like the main course. And then going to Israel is like the buffet on the cruise ship, you know.
You do that too. You do tours of Israel, and this year you're adding a whole new dimension to your traveling, aren't you?
Yeah, but we're filling this intermediate land here. For what about all the people? Let's talk about two categories of people in the States. There's a category of people who wish they could go to Israel, but for some reason will never get there or have never gotten there. Sometimes that's financially, sometimes there are other reasons. I wanted to come up with something that gave them 80% of the experience of going to Israel while never leaving the States, and for one-tenth the price as well. And that's what a Bible Alive intensive is meant to do. So it's for pastors and teachers and authors and speakers and serious lay people, students of the Bible, who want to have that experience, but for whatever reason don't ever see themselves getting to Israel. Then there's a second group of people who've gone to Israel. And, you know, if you talk to them, they've all had a fabulous experience. And I don't want to take that away from anybody. It sort of reminds me of the phrase here, have you ever met anybody who got a bad deal on a new car? It's true. The land just sells itself. It speaks for itself and thrills you. But at the same time, you can go to Israel and take in all the sights and walk where Jesus walked, quote unquote. But still, whoever you're with may not be wired to connect all the dots, develop all the themes and motifs, contextually and weave it all together for you. And so for a lot of people who've gone to Israel, they still need to have the dots connected and the motifs integrated, visit sites that they never saw, because with our helicopter video, you know, we can go all over Israel and see sites in an afternoon that it would take 6 months to see.
Which is something you can't do anymore, huh?
Not like we did, but with our videos, which we've captured from years past, we now replay them in these seminars and intensives. So we can give people who have been to Israel a very integrative experience to connect the dots, to tie up the loose ends, to weave the themes and the motifs together, to allow all the pieces to fall into place, if you will. So that's the purpose of the relatively new Bible Alive intensives, and I'm really excited about that. We're going to start the first one next week, and we do it here at PBT, which is another nice thing, because then it allows me to sleep in my own bed every night.
It's a big plus.
And it means I don't have to climb on an airplane and do that baggage check and all that sort of thing. So I'm excited about it for more than one reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking now of Italy, because this is another new dimension to the Ministry of Preserving Bible Time that will make an appearance this year, huh? Your Italian trips.
Well, it is. And for me, there's just a fascinating history to this. I team teach in Israel with Dr. Randy Smith, who I have come to realize, and other people concur, they feel is the finest contextual Bible teacher in the world. And on our last trip over there, halfway through it, once we got to Jerusalem, Randy said to me, let's go across the street to the American Colony restaurant. Let me tell you some about what I've been learning about Italy over the last 4 years. And the Italian government Ministry of Tourism had contracted with Randy to put together a Bible Times trip study program to Italy in the same way that people go to Israel to have the Holy Land study land experience. And I said to Randy, because that means it's Pauline, I said to Randy, Randy, is there enough meat there to do a 10-day trip on the context of Paul in southern Italy? He said, you would be surprised. I said, okay, let's go to dinner. I want to ask you some questions. Tell me about it. Well, 3 hours later, he told me what he had learned over his 3 and 4 years of research on Pauline context in Italy, what he's now teaching to tour guides, Italian tour guides, to bring out Pauline motifs. And, you know, I've been doing this Bible teaching thing for 30 years. I was absolutely blown away with what I heard. I thought, Randy, I take my question back, you know. Excuse me for wondering whether there's enough meat here. The issue is really the different one. How can we eat all this meat? How can we digest it? And that's when the lights went off in my mind. We have to do a Pauline response to the Roman world contextual immersion trip in southern Italy, just like we do when we go to Israel for Jesus and the Old Testament and David and those kinds of trips. And so that's coming up. The first one is in May. It's 10 days long. And we're going to immerse ourselves in the Roman world of Paul and begin to understand what daily life was like in Rome, so we can understand the metaphors and analogies that Paul drew upon in his writings. We'll start to immerse ourselves in the top 10 playwrights of the first century in Rome and what the top 10 plays in the theaters and amphitheaters were all throughout the Roman world. One of the things about Rome, the Roman Empire, is part of its subjugation strategy was to export its culture to all of its conquered territories. So if you understand what was going on in Rome, you understand what was going on in Corinth and in Ephesus and in Philippi and Thessaloniki, and that's the missing piece of biblical context. Obviously, Israel and the land of the Bible is the first place you go, and then the only other place people have gone or think that's a possibility to go is Paul's journeys. And so, you know, they go to Turkey and Greece and hop on boats and buses and airplanes and, you know, go from site to site and talk about that. But what was missing was this whole Roman world, which is best developed from Rome all the way south to Sorrento along the Appian Way. And so we're going to stop in about 28 sites between Rome and Sorrento and develop contextually the Roman world of Paul's day so we can understand better the way Paul responds to his world of his day. And really what he's responding to is the media of his day, what goes on in the amphitheaters. And when you begin to understand what that media was and how Paul was responding to it, you quickly come to the conclusion that some things haven't changed at all. The media then was trying to do the same thing the media is doing now. And I think this will be a very wonderful equipping apologetic, if for nothing else, into how to further understand what Paul was dealing with and how it applies to our time and space as well. So we're really excited about this whole new edition, this contextual immersion trip to southern Italy, to put ourselves deep into Paul's response to the Roman world.
Now, you've got two trips this year to Italy, don't you?
We do, early May and late September. And both of them, I think, I've at least got 25 or 30 seats filled up already. Mm-hmm. We'll probably max out at the bus at 35. So still some seats available, and we're pleased at the response. It looks like we're going to have two full busloads.
And the price is reasonable. In fact, it's amazingly low for such an involved and long-duration tour, 10 days.
Well, particularly when you understand the euro to the dollar exchange mm-hmm. rate these days and how expensive things are in Europe. So it's about a $3,000 trip on the land side of it for 10 days, mm-hmm. and then it's roughly about $1,200 for the average airfare. So it's I think the price is $4,295 all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be a great thing, and we'll look for, and we'll miss you during those tours, but we'll get a full report, I judge, when you return from them too, because this is something that I know Dave and I have talked about. We would love to go along with that, maybe the September trip, but that's booking up now, so there's a sense of urgency developing here. So we'll take a look at that. So new website and John chapter 4 and the prodigal son and Italy. You're going to be a busy guy this year.
Yeah, you know, it's just only the Lord knows how all these things are going to pan out. But I got an email last week wondering if I would come to India for at least a week.
There's your children's ministry there, right?
That's one of the places. In fact, that's where it started, mm-hmm. with David C. Cook. And wanting to teach me to teach in seminary to over 400 seminarians for a week. And I haven't even processed that one yet. I don't know what all is going to be on the horizon for this year. But that particular aspect would be brand new.
Interesting. It'll be a busy year for Preserving Bible Times, and we're just so glad that we have access to you, that you have time for us every Wednesday morning on Broken Road. Doug, appreciate it as always. Thanks for making time today. And the holidays were good, I suppose. The weather's going to warm up. You're going to be a busy guy. You're pretty well set for the year.
Well, it's going to be 51 on Saturday, they say. And since you brought me in with mm-hmm. Perry Como mm-hmm. Today, very poor, very obvious riddle here, but as you get to your golden ages, what's PC about PC?
This is a riddle, David. You got this?
Oh, not much. Perry Como is really politically correct. Oh. When you get to the golden ages.
I was thinking of my Dell 960.
See, you're in the wrong era.
Yeah. My head's stuck in the wrong place.
Mr. C. That was his handle on his TV show, Mr. C.
And if we had another couple hours, I'd like to talk to you more about the media or the plays and the theater community at the time of Paul and the things that you were talking about, because that sounds interesting.
Well, that may be what we do in June when we come back from the May trip.
Yeah, okay. We'll look forward. That sounds fascinating. I agree. You look at, if you do any studying at all or any reading at all, you see parallels between the way people are, regardless of when they lived. I mean, they just had bigger tools.
And for me, Paul's always been a mystery anyway. In fact, I'm not sure that I would have gotten along with Paul. He seems so firmly set in his ways. He knows exactly what he's talking about, and there's no equivocating when you read Paul. And so I'm eager to learn more about him and about that that first century environment in Rome. Doug Greenwald, Preserving Bible Times, thanks so much again. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Doug.
And to you as well. And the music continues on our Broken Road Radio Wednesday morning with Philip Kevren, his orchestra.